So on Thursday, Ange and I and a couple other people were talking about, since the weather was so crazy, we were thinking about doing some sort of second Christmas theme and setting up the Christmas tree and everything. But we decided to go the opposite direction now that the sun's out and believe for spring. We're going to be optimistic. And so you can tell by my pants that I'm believing for spring. The sun's shining in here. It's coming from my Urban Outfitters pants. So I was going to use this kind of cheesy analogy this morning. The difference between palm trees and evergreen trees, and I decided to scrap that, partly because it was cheesy and partly because I realized that it's Palm Sunday, and if I'm telling you not to be palm trees, then that's kind of awkward. It's just confusing. So I decided not to go with that, and I'm going to be talking about foundations, which is the theme of this month, and building your house on the rock. And that's a passage that I think a lot of us have heard a lot of times. And I'm going to try and go a little bit deeper with that and kind of explain to you guys what I visualize when I see building my house on the rock. But before we go into that, I want to talk about Zion. And Zion is something that I've grown up like not even knowing really what it was. Like I'd heard the word a lot, and I knew it was probably something pretty cool. And just recently when the Hillsong album Zion came out, I decided, hey, I should probably research what this is and kind of have an idea of what Zion is. So I looked it up, and it turns out Mount Zion was a place that housed this castle or fortress that David took over during his kingship. And this became called and known as the City of David. And since David was a man after God's heart, it became the city after God's heart. And it talks about in the Bible that Zion is so close to God's heart. And I actually found out also that the bride of Christ, or the church, has become known as the daughter of Zion. So we are the daughter of Zion. And if Zion is close to God's heart, then the daughter of Zion must be close to God's heart. There's a song on the album called Mountain, and there is these few lines in it that just stuck out to me. It says, "Your name, my hope, fortress in the raging storm. My heart is your home. Jesus, let your love take hold. Your name, my sure foundation, the hope of glory for one and all. Your love endures forever, a holy mountain that will not fall." This gets me. It stirs something inside of me. So let's read Hebrews 12, starting at verse 22. Then we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into it this morning. Hebrews 12 is speaking to believers, and it says, "You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. So be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire." Let's pray. God, I just lift up this morning to you right now. Lord, I lift up these people, and I lift up this message that you have given me, Jesus. Lord, I want to be a vessel this morning. It's not about me. It's not about C3 Church. It's not about the people in this building, Lord. It's about you and your truth. Lord, this kingdom, this unshakable kingdom that we are to receive as your children, our inheritance. Lord, I speak now against, Lord, any misleading that Satan is working right now. Jesus, I speak against anything that we have brought in, whether it's condemnation, whether it's depression, whether it's procrastination, Jesus, I pray that you would break those things off, that they would fall to the floor, that there would be a whole lot of freedom in this place this morning. God, I pray that even now you would be preparing our hearts to know the truth. Lord, in a time where relative truth is becoming fact, Lord, I pray that you would be our anchor. Lord, that you would guide us to the shore. That if there is anyone here this morning that is feeling wind-tossed, like they're sailing seas away, Lord, I pray that you would be that light that guides them to the shore. Lord, that the time would be now. It wouldn't be, oh, tomorrow. I'll love you tomorrow. Lord, I'll follow you tomorrow, but it would be today. Because we serve a today God. You're moving now. You want to do things now. You want to change things now. I believe you even want to return now, but you are waiting for our sake. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen. So the first thing I want to talk about is foundations. And in Matthew 7, it talks about building your house on the rock, and it starts with therefore. And so every time it says therefore, you got to ask yourself, what is it there for? So therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken them to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So let your heart be established in the gospel. Let your heart be established in the gospel. Romans 10:10 says, with the heart, man believes. Is your heart established in the gospel? So personally, this is something I always talk about, is I feel like I was born for the beach. And like, I love hot vacations. I love soaking up the sun. And I'm going to Hawaii at the end of April or beginning of May, and I'm stoked to get my base tan for the summer. I'm going to carry it all the way through. I'm going to be golden brown. It's awesome. But despite the fact that I really love the beach, I love to do nothing, just soak it up, you know, take in the view of the ocean, breathe in the salt water. Ah, it's good. I became convicted that we were not born for the beach. We were born for the mountains. Because it says, build your house on the rock. And I am convinced that that rock, if it's talking about the gospel, the word of God, that's not just any rock. That's a huge rock. And the hugest rock I can think of is a mountain. And I've been to the Rocky Mountains. I go to Canmore a lot, and we do some hiking. And I know that those rocks are big because it takes forever and a lot of energy to climb up them, even to walk up them. And I've done it a few times, and every time I'm like, I'm never doing this again. But every time you get to the top, every time you get to the top and you look out over the valley, over the other mountains, everything seems so small. It's also so beautiful. I think there's beauty in that perspective. When we can reach that mountaintop and look over everything and realize it's small. Even those other mountains, they're nothing compared to the one that I'm standing on. I could jump and just land on the other side, you know? Don't jump. But it feels like that. So the beach is easy. It doesn't take work. You just soak up the sun and do nothing. I was racking my brain to remember sometime I did something productive on the beach. And getting a tan doesn't count. It's like, yes, I walked all the way to the end of the beach. Yeah. I made it so far. It was so much work and I accomplished so much. And now I have to walk back to get my towel. And then I'm going to go home and I'm going to resent the weather in Saskatchewan because it's so cold and it lasts forever and the spring never comes. Build your life on conviction rather than comfort. God doesn't just want to restore you. He wants to prepare you for that unshakable kingdom that we are to receive. He wants to prepare you for Zion, for the mountain of the Lord, for the city of God. We were born for the mountains, not the beach. James said, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet storms of various kinds, for the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. If you build your house on the rock, if you make the mountains your reality, when the storms come, you will be unshaken." It's comfortable to build our houses on the sand because we love it. We love the beach. We love the sand in our toes. Toes in the water. It's nice on our feet. It's soft. You don't have to worry about stubbing your toe or cutting your feet. But you better believe that when the rains come, it will not hold you. And then you won't get a tan anyway because you'll be tossed in the sea. It isn't enough to simply take in the scenery. It's not just about knowing his name, but about knowing his voice, his word. He who hears my word and obeys builds his house on the rock. Another interesting thing about Canmore, this place in the Rocky Mountains, is that whenever I go there, there's all these crazy athletes like training for Olympic sports. It's like this mecca for really fit people. And I go there and I probably come there from the beach maybe. And I'm not that fit because I was just laying on my towel. And I feel a little bit self-conscious. I feel like I don't belong in the mountains, you know? It's like, it's foreign to me. I haven't been here. I haven't trained. I haven't conditioned myself to scale the mountains. That's why he wants you there. So that when that inheritance comes, when he decides to return, you are ready. The mountain is just natural to you. It's your home. Build your reality on the mountain. The thing about mountains is you're never comfortable just sitting down. Because it's like this. And it's rocky. And there's nowhere comfortable. So you always have to be moving. And even if you do take a break, it's a short one. Just enough to catch your breath. And then you're going again because your butt's getting sore. I'd rather conquer the mountains today and bathe in the glory tomorrow than waste my life bathing in the sun today and burn tomorrow. Everyone loves romantic walks on the beach, but it takes a real relationship to scale a mountain together. Can your relationship withstand testing? Or are you clinging to the honeymoon stage? The fairy tale endings. There's this mountain, like right outside of Canmore, called Holling Peak. And I've hiked it twice. And each time I tell myself I'm never going to do it again. The first time, I have a bit of asthma. Like, it's not crazy bad, but sometimes it gets triggered by, like, dust or pollen or whatever. And I'm pretty sure the first time, and I may just be using this as an excuse, but I'm pretty sure the first time there was something that triggered that, so I was just breathing hard. I had to take a lot of breaks. And I'm pretty sure I slowed the people down that I was with. Jordan can probably testify to that, because he was with me and he's really fit. But the first time I hiked that peak, I was just upset the whole time. And there's a few times that I considered turning back. All I wanted was to walk downhill and not uphill, you know? And then there's this one point where we met these people. They're from some crazy foreign place, and they probably climbed the Alps, like, every day. And they told me this thing that I would never have guessed, but it is really actually common sense. And they were like, you know, if you take just little steps, it's way easier. And you're going to get there for sure, you know? Like if you just put one foot in front of the other over and over, you're going to get to the top. And you're going to have to take less breaks. And I was just trying to be that man, just like taking those huge steps, like climbing the rocks, you know? And all of a sudden when they told me that, it just clicked. One step at a time and you're going to scale the tallest mountain. And when I got to the top and when I looked over that view, like I said, everything just seemed so small. I sat right on the edge. It was super scary, and my mom was really mad at me after when she heard about it and when she saw the pictures. But it was worth all the risk and every second that I was on that ledge, because I will never see something like that again. I can go back to that very ledge, but I will never see the same perspective that I saw in that moment, because it was the first time, and it was so clear, and it was so beautiful. And it changed the way I think. It changed the way I view the world. That's how incredible it was. If you don't believe me, go hike it. You're going to have to take some breaks, though. Trust me. I came across this quote by Martin Luther King Jr., and it just rocked me. Because he had a dream. And I'm someone that has a dream. And to be honest, I love dreaming. And I want my dreams to be directly from God. And Martin Luther King said this, I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. And I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. He went to the mountain and he had a dream. And that dream, that perspective changed North America. It freed countless slaves. What if all it takes is for you to go to the mountain to free hundreds and thousands and perhaps millions of lives? That vision that you will not receive anywhere else but on the mountain. We are called to have our head in the clouds and our feet on the ground, and the only place you can do that is on the mountain. Elijah heard the still small voice of God on the mountain. First the winds came, then the storm, then the lightning, then the thunder, and then the still small voice of God. He heard it on the mountain. When your foundation is the Word, you can call the realities of heaven into your realities, your personal realities. You can make the mountains your stepping stones. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Him whose heart and hands are pure. Build your house on the mountain of the Lord and then speak to the mountains that stand between you and the nations, which are your birthright. Tell them to move. Zion is close to God's heart. It talks about it all through the Bible. Psalm 87, his foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. Isaiah 2, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations will flow to it. Jesus himself spent so much time on the mountain, time after time, and when he would come down, he would be met by multitudes of people, people just begging to be healed, people just begging for the truth. Luke 9 was when he was coming down with his disciples after the transfiguration. It says in verse 37, now it happened on the next day when they had come down from the mountain that a great multitude met him. Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out saying, teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he is my only child and he is sick. Perhaps if you spend some time on the mountain, when you come down, there will be people just waiting, lives ready to be changed. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. We all know the Great Commission. Then, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The Great Commission was given to us on the mountain. We were born from the mountain, not the beach. The second thing I want to talk about today is revelation. What is your revelation of who Jesus is? What is your revelation of what the rock is, of what the word is? You know, like, how do you see? How do you interact with Jesus? In order to build our house, in order to build your house, you need a foundation. And in this context, my foundation is the revelation of Jesus and who he is. And believe me, he is. He said it. He said, I am. He told Moses, I am. The crazy thing to me in the story of Moses is, to solve Moses' identity crisis, God told him who God was, not who Moses was. When Moses doubted, he said, Moses, I am. And I'm going with you. He didn't have to tell Moses, oh, you're pretty good at this, and it's okay that you don't talk good, like, you're pretty muscular, you know, like, he was like, all he had to say was, I am, and I am going with you, and I will handle business if you just start walking, if you just climb, you come up onto the mountain, I will give you my commandments, and they will last through, like, ages, and if your people follow them, if my people follow them, then they will be close to my heart. I will give them vision. I will reward them. Just come up on my mountain. Just hike with me. Just one step at a time. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace. For it is with the heart that the man believes. God never changes. Jesus is the same. He's the same Jesus that defeated death yesterday, years ago, next week. He defeated death. He rose again, and he did it for us. And that same Jesus is today, and that same Jesus is forever and is coming again to live with us in Zion, in eternity, in paradise, in the city of God. He promises, I will never fail you. I'm going with you. I am. He is preparing an unshakable kingdom as our inheritance. Hebrews 12 that we read earlier, these last few verses of it, just get me so much anticipation. They just get me so pumped. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. And this means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Will you remain? That is the question of the hour. That is the question of today, is when he shakes heaven and earth, will we remain? For since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful, please God, by worshiping him with holy fear and awe, for our God is a devouring fire. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And in Isaiah 7:9, it says, unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. Don't be influenced by faithless people. It doesn't matter if it sounds smart. It doesn't make it true. Fact is getting replaced by relative truth. Don't be influenced by faithless people. As you stand firm, look for your return, for it is coming. Like Ange said this morning, do my will and the rest will follow. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has a lot of history and a lot of promise, and sometimes that's all we think about, all we focus on. The God of yesterday and the God of tomorrow. And my challenge for you today is, do you believe in the God of today? And listen to me when I say this, I believe that Satan is totally okay with us believing in the God of tomorrow if it distracts us from the God of today. If that is your reason for procrastinating, Satan's eaten that up. Are you deferring obedience because it's easier to trust in the God of tomorrow? Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. It's only a day away. That was the wrong tune, but whatever. I'm not singing for you guys this morning. I'm preaching. It's easier to ride the wave of the God of yesterday and what he's already done. But he wants us to recognize what he did and celebrate it. But he doesn't want us to be distracted by it. He has a plan. He has an action plan. He has so much in store, but he's waiting patiently for you to jump on the bandwagon and just start doing stuff. Just be a vessel. You don't have to wait for the end, because he is right now. Jesus has never been, was, or will be. He is. And when we understand who he was and is and will be, that gives us a basis for what we believe. It's the starting point of our faith, and it is motivation to obey. I want to read the story of Martha and Lazarus and Jesus and everybody in between. And it's in John 11, so if you want to go there, I'm going to read the whole story so you can follow along. It's also going to be up on the screen. Starting at verse 1, A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. Now this is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. And also recognize that this is the Mary and Martha that Jesus had supper with. And Mary was just like soaking up his presence, and Martha was busy in the kitchen getting everything ready. And Martha was frustrated with Mary that she was being lazy and just hanging out with Jesus instead of preparing the meal. So Martha is a go-getter, a doer, and she perhaps was distracted with the God of tomorrow and not taken up by the God of today. So let's continue. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." But his disciples objected. "Rabbi," they said, "only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going to go there again?" And Jesus replied, "There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light." And then he said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better." For they thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but he really meant that Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him." So Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Okay, let's go to and die with Jesus." Verse 17, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus told her, "Martha, your brother will rise again." Martha replied, "Yes, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." Because she didn't have enough faith. She didn't see the God of today. She only saw the God of tomorrow, the God of forever. "Yes, God, you're going to return. Jesus, I know you're coming back. Like, I have faith. Look how awesome I am. I believe you're coming back. Yeah, he's going to rise again when we all rise again." Good one. Yeah, I get it. But Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" She replied, "Yes, Lord. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and wants to see you." So Mary immediately went to him. Verse 30, Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. And when the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep. So they followed her there. And when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked. They told him, "Lord, come and see." And then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." But some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across his entrance. And he said, "Roll the stone aside." But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." See, she still didn't believe. She had it in her heart that he was going to rise again when everyone rose again. "Lord, I know that you're Messiah, but why are we opening the grave? I don't get it. It's going to stink." Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then he shouted, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, and his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. He rose, not at the end, today. In the moment that Jesus said, Lazarus, get up, he got up. Martha forgot who she was talking to. She believed in the forever Jesus, but not the today Jesus. Just like when Jesus visited them for a meal, she had no value for the moment, only preparing the meal. She was distracted from She was distracted from the today God, where Mary wouldn't miss it for anything. She was happy to believe he was the Messiah and that he will return and that we will rise again, but skeptical about what he can do today, what he was about to do in that moment. I'm telling you that God is a today God. Living in the moment is biblical. I believe that's the true American dream. Living in the moment with the today God in mind. Not wasting our resources on random, momentous things that won't last forever. But wasting our resources and our time and our energy on the today God. What he wants to do in this moment. Because he has a plan for this very moment. And the next one, and the next one. So are we going to believe in it, or are we going to say, I will love you tomorrow. It's only a day away. Next time, the next moment, I'll catch you. I'll believe for tomorrow. Maybe next year. Maybe when I have more money. Maybe once I've bought that car that I want. Maybe when there aren't a bunch of people watching. We are to serve the today God, but that is impossible if we aren't present. If our mind is taken up with other things. If we're on our cell phones, Instagramming. Because those are moments past, right? We're not in the moment. We're not in today. We're in yesterday. Or tomorrow. We're daydreaming. There's value in living in the moment. With a God who died and rose again for the moment. For every moment. He doesn't have to wait until you have your ducks in a row, and neither do you. And I thank God that we aren't the same yesterday, today, and forever. I thank him that we are continuously being restored. We are continuously being renewed. He is continuously giving us another chance, another moment, another one shot, one more. Okay, you didn't do it. Okay, one more. Okay, I'm waiting. One more. Just do it. Somewhere between I did and I will do is where faith comes in. That God of today, not the God of yesterday, not the God of tomorrow, our faith is applied between those two things. In that space between death and resurrection and the triumphant return. So if that doesn't stir something in your heart, I don't know what will. And I want to challenge you guys today to believe in the God of today. It makes sense, doesn't it? Today, believe in the God of today. The God of tomorrow will be there tomorrow. And the God of yesterday already did what he had to do. Get familiar with the mountains. Build your entire reality, your house, in the mountains. Become mountaineers. Know the mountain. Know the pathways. Know the rocks. Know the cliffs. Just spend some time on the top. Your head in the clouds and your feet on the ground. Don't waste your time on the beach. Because we were born for the mountains. We are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable. Our God is our foundation. Hear his words and obey. So why don't you guys stand with me, and I want to commission you as mountaineers today. I want to send you out into the mountains. It's enough of the beach. It's enough of the snow, don't you say? I guess there's snow in the mountains. But you're closer to the sun, so maybe that helps. So why don't you guys just hold out your hands this morning as in a posture of receiving, and I'm going to pray. From my heart to yours, I want us to be a church, a today church. I want us to be a today body of believers. I want this city to be a city that benefits from the fruits of a today church. Because he says, if you are faithful, I will give you the land. If you delight yourself in me, if you build your house on the rock, I will give you the land. Someone spoke a good word last night at the worship night. They felt that God was giving us the land. Are we going to take it? Are we going to claim it for his glory, for his purposes? So let's pray. God, I pray for these people that have their hands just outstretched right now. Lord, I pray that as they are in a posture of receiving, Lord, that you would give. Lord, that you would impart your truth and your wisdom. Lord, that you would impart your confidence, your faithfulness. Lord, even when we aren't unfaithful, you always remain faithful, for you cannot deny yourself. Lord, I pray that you would teach us that level of faithfulness that is unshakable. Lord, our deepest desire is on that day when you shake heaven and earth, that we would be able to remain. That we would know the mountain, that we would build our house and our realities on the mountain, that we would make your realities our realities to the point that we are unshakable. Because we want to outlast it. We want to spend eternity with you. Jesus, I confess anything in this room. Like I said at the beginning, anything that even looks like procrastination. Lord, anything that is distracting us from the present, from the revelation of who you are, from the fact that you want to do, and you want to do more, and you want to change lives. Lord, I pray that as we spend time on the mountain, when we come down, that there would be multitudes waiting, lives ready to be changed. Lord, that we would believe that you have the power to heal, that it is your desire for your children to be blessed. God, that we would remember the great commission that was given on the mountain. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would be your vessels, that we would be mountaineers, that we would take one step at a time and know that we could scale the tallest of mountains. Lord, I pray that you will give us the faith. Lord, that you will stand beside us. Lord, that just the fact that you are will be enough. Lord, that we would have the courage to speak to the mountains that stand between us and a lost world. Lord, that those mountains would move in your name. Jesus, that Saskatoon would be overcome by your presence. Lord, that despite it's a prairie city, that it would be a city on a mountaintop. Lord, that cannot be hidden. Jesus, that our heads would be in the clouds. Our feet would be rooted on the ground. Lord, stability and sustainability, that's what you declare as ours if we are established in grace. So let us be established in grace. Give us your truth. Give us new revelation. Give us a dream. Show us the promised land. And give us the courage to follow. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Can we sing Undivided? Worship team? Yeah. All right, well, let's sing this and declare it. I see a new day rising, a church undivided. We won't be silent. Thanks for being here, guys. And live knowing that God is a today God. He's moving right now. Are you going to tap into it? Are you going to ride the wave? Or are you going to say, tomorrow, I will love you tomorrow. It's only a day away.